I will open the Joint Interim Task Force on State Budget Process for May 23rd. We only have a few items on the agenda, but some of them are pretty complex. The first item is not that complex. It's simply the adoption of the committee rules. Committee administrator, the rules are pretty basic.
Mr. Co-Chair, members of the task force, the committee rules are the same ones we adopted when we initially started last fall. Because this committee did technically sunset at the start of 2014 session, it was reauthorized under a different bill and subsequently renamed officially. So we do have to adopt new task force rules. They are the exact same ones we previously adopted.
Do we have a motion?
Mr. Co-Chair, I move to adopt the proposed task force rules.
Any discussion of the motion before the committee? Any objection to the motion before the committee? Hearing none, motion passes. Before we start into these, could you briefly review the work plan? And as committee members will remember, our last discussion before the short session was to develop a work plan to address each individual chapter and for staff to work with the committee staff to basically develop recommendations in each of the areas that we had discussed. So if you would go through that.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. What you have before you is a work plan that has divided our work into three additional meetings and then a final meeting prior to the adoption of our report. At our last meeting, we narrowed down a series of statutes for review. Subsequently, they have been categorized based on topic area and scope of work. The first set of statutes that are before you today are generally auxiliary statutes related to the budget process, primarily related to fiscal revenue statements, joint ways and means. And then the subsequent meeting that will be in July are a series of statutes related to budget policy in Chapter 291. And then the last set of statutes are related to revenue issues as regard to the budget process. What you have before you today is a spreadsheet with recommendations developed in conjunction with Mr. Rocco and Mr. Naughton, and a series of suggestions and recommendations for that first set of statutes. And in subsequent meetings, we will be doing the same thing. As regard to pre-meeting, we will prepare a set of recommendations for your consideration at the July meeting and subsequently in September. Another reason they are sorted the way they are is around amount of time we will have for meetings. We will have the most amount of flexibility in July, and so that will be the largest load in terms of probably substantive discussion about changes to statute. And so we wanted to make sure we give an appropriate amount of time for your staff to prepare recommendations and for discussion and considerations during a meeting in July versus around legislative days, which the other two meetings will be around, since our time tends to be more limited during those two meetings. And so the first spreadsheet before you identifies the statute, your staff's recommendation, and as to why we made that recommendation, and then we will make a decision and hopefully make a vote and a recommendation today on these statutes before you.
Everyone's had this before. I think there are a couple of places within this where there are options being recommended. Do you want to explain those options? Because I think there is an issue there, mm-hmm. about whether to amend the,
yes.
statute or whether to rely upon chamber rules.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Co-Chair, there are two places, primarily 173025 revenue and fiscal statements and 173035, in which we have presented two different options for you. The other statutes have a singular option. There is discussion about, and it was initially brought up at one of our previous meetings, as to whether or not fiscal revenue, requiring fiscal and revenue statements and submission and timing of fiscal revenue statements should be a question of chamber rule or if it should remain in statute. So we have presented two options. One is a repeal of it, believing that it would go into chamber rule. The second is, if it is not to repeal, to strike language that references Oregon Department of Administrative Services, and to clarify who, that it's a legislative fiscal office and revenue office with which we work with to prepare these statements. So one is really clarifying as to the process that we use. One is to repeal.
Any discussion on that issue?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I would strongly oppose making these chamber rules for a number of reasons. I think it the way they are currently set up, they're much more consistent than they might be if they were changed by the prevailing party in each legislative session. They're more bipartisan in this situation, and since I've served my entire tenure in the Senate in the minority, I might be a little sensitive, but I think it tends to protect the minority position by the way it's currently set up.
Senator Wetzich, you might be surprised that I'm actually in agreement. Plus, I do think there's the potential that you could have different chamber rules, since
gives a new meaning to dysfunctional. The other thing that I would add is that I think that there might be a third option, and that is for the fiscal and revenue statements to require three biennia of the current biennia plus the following two biennia to be discussed in those impacts. I know the governor and a lot of legislators are looking toward more of a 10-year consistency plan, and I think that would be very helpful working toward that. I wouldn't ask you to do five at this time. We could make it incrementally that way with more staff, perhaps, but...
Would you be satisfied if we kind of put that on, these are basically changes to existing, put that on a discussion for the next meeting and get some staff feedback on what it would take to do that?
Sure.
Okay.
I might add, Mr. Chair, that we, in fiscal impact statements now, currently, we do current biennium and then the next biennium. We do that because often there are roll-up costs in the out biennium. We don't allow that out biennium to be inflated, however, because we want the true cost. So we just take whatever the, if it's not a full loaded cost in the current biennium, we just estimate what the cost would be for a full 24-month period without inflation. If we did another biennium after that, it would look just about the same. Without additional work into, do a better estimate of what the actual cost would be. So,
well, and I think too, Representative Buckley and I, being the incumbents in the position that we're in terms of being designated as the co-chairs, often deal with members who want to narrow the focus of bills in the current biennium so that they have no fiscal at all, and then put in dates within them that create enormous fiscals. Well, it requires no staff now, but 50 staff at a biennium from now, and extensive grant programs, and say, well, does it really have to go through Ways and Means? Because there's no fiscal now. Yes, it does.
Also applied to some of our creative financing.
Yeah.
And Mr. Chair, that's correct, and that's why we do that second biennium on fiscal impacts.
What's the committee's preference, if I put that on sort of to come up before the committee the next meeting with some staff support on that, what's the committee preference on each of these, to go through them item by item or to deal with them in block? And we'll just take the option two, I guess, in each case for the one that could have placed them in rule. Oh, okay. For the two items, I believe it's 173025 and 173035. Instead of repeal and putting them into chamber rule, we would take option two and just strike the reference to DAS and align references in statute to how the fiscal and revenue process works.
The other thing on 173.035, I have a note here that we might want to consider clarifying that LFO and LRO reports must be made before the policy work session. Because okay. It doesn't really clarify in there whether we're talking a policy committee or a Ways and Means committee.
Is that any discussion on that item? Any problem with it?
I'm sorry, could you just clarify it again? You're asking words to be added that would clarify that the fiscal has to come in before the policy work group? Is that what you're
work session.
Before the policy work session, so that the policy committee actually knows what it's going to cost or before they vote on it.
Is that in any way, Mr. Kutcher, if I may,
Is
that in any way damage the ability to do a fiscal light, which is sometimes required at the end of a deadline session just to keep a bill moving? I mean, I just want to be careful that we don't hamper our ability to have a little flexibility.
So, Mr. Co-Chair, currently the impact statements will come during the work session. So if there's a work session, then the chamber rules say that there has to be a statement available before the vote takes place. So that's when it is provided, and there's no differentiation between a light and a regular statement. The light statement is just required if it has a subsequent to either Ways and Means or to Revenue Committee.
So in essence, a fiscal light statement is, you know, it's being kicked up the ladder. So it's not going out to the floor with a light statement. I mean,
that's correct, Mr. Chair. And what we've done in terms of those statements, we have a stamp on them that says this cannot go to the floor. The fiscal light is not acceptable at the floor level.
I guess part of my concern here is that there's, in some policy committees, there seems to be quite a disconnect between desires and what is affordable. And I know particularly in one particular House committee that Representative Whitsitt sits on, they don't even want to know what the, you know, the current chair doesn't even want to know what the fiscal is. Or the, you know, I mean, we'll let somebody else deal with that. We're just dealing with policy here. And I don't personally think that you can deal with policy in a reasonable fashion unless you know what it costs and whether it can be done.
Well, I think we can, we can take that in terms of the language that the fiscal has to be done in, you know, for the work session, and we can probably take up the discussion of fiscal lights in the next meeting also. I do notice that sometimes when we get fiscal lights, it coincides with deadlines.
Right.
In terms of bills having to be out of committees.
Correct.
Which those commonly, not always, are the bills that end up at the end of the sheet in Ways and Means and get lengthy and long consideration. So, okay.
I have one other request, if I could, and that would be to ask the distinguished members of the committee from the Senate to speak a little louder.
Oh, okay.
The representative at the far end is suffering from a chronic condition that seems to affect the Homo sapien male.
Unfortunately, there are a lot of chronic conditions that affect the Homo.
That's true. Additionally, we're on 173.025, is that correct?
Yeah.
I think I concur with the repeal of it. I think something is, an area of concern I have, though, with the repeal is the in 173.0252, and throughout the this particular section, it makes consistently a reference to local and state government. And input from local and state government on the fiscal and revenue impacts that this might have. Now, at least in my limited experience in the legislature and in the ways and means, that really has never transpired except where somebody from schools or the county, the Association of Board of Counties or League of Oregon Cities, you know, steps up and, you know, comes in, but there's no real official sort of exposure to that group as contrasted to legislative fiscal office, legislative revenue office, and DAS, which, you know, they're all here to have their input. Now, I understand by repealing this, we do away with this, what I perceive as inconsistency and not conforming to the statute. But I think, be remiss if I didn't say I was worried about some way or another in the statutes trying to protect the ability of local governments to get their input, because with all respect to the gentleman on the other side here, I have great respect and admiration for the work that they do, but I'm not sure that they're always aware 100% of the time of what the fiscal and economic and revenue impacts will be for some of the local and state governments or local government. So, and I don't know exactly where or how we do that. I just wish to raise that point.
Representative Jensen, I think I can't really speak for Senator Whitsitt, but this is I think the Senate preference here is not to repeal, because if we repeal, we're going to be putting this or recommending it goes into chamber rules. I think
Mr. Gutierrez, even louder.
Oh, okay. I think the Senate, I can't speak for Senator Whitsitt, but I think the preference has been stated here not to repeal but to amend, just so that it's consistent with current practices and the language that you speak about. I think we could actually indicate remains in the amendment rather than repeal, because if we did repeal, then we probably need to talk about putting it in chamber rule, and I don't think Senator Whitsitt or I want to put it in chamber rule. So we will keep the references in there to local government impacts.
Mr. Chair, if I could just explain briefly, our LFO's recommendation is also not to repeal but to take option two, which is just to clarify, to strike the reference to the Department of Administrative Services. When the fiscal impact process was initiated, there was no legislative involvement in it. It was all done by the Department of Administrative Services. So over the years, it has evolved where we now have staff in the legislature that actually does this work. Initially, there was only a reference to doing the impacts on local government, and that's why we're suggesting to add state and local government, because most of the work we do is with state agencies now. But we do contact local government. We on all bills that we think affect local governments, we contact AOI, LOC, Special Districts Association, school districts if we can, county clerks if it's a bill affecting voting registration or other kinds of activities. So we do reach out and have contact information with all of the local government entities to try to get that information. Now, their response is not always great, because there's a lot of things they're trying to get done in the session, but we do reach out and try to get that information. So we're recommending just the option two, which is to amend with a few word changes in there.
If I could add something to Mr. Chair, just to clarify on the revenue side about local, for us, local revenue is property tax. And we have a full-time position dedicated to property tax. It's one of the major data sources that we have. Department of Revenue does have overall administrative responsibility for the property tax. So we do have the data from the assessors, obviously, but we have spent a lot of our time looking at property tax proposals and do those impacts. So it is a real important part of our function, and it, of course, is by far the biggest tax source for the local governments.
Any discussion? Do we have a motion to approve the recommendations? Are we ready for that? With on the two items 173035 and 173.
Mr. Cotier, do you want to wait and make a in block motion for all of the actions, or did you want to make a specific motion related to 173025 and 173035?
What I was envisioning is making a recommendation that would include the specific recommendations in the two which give options.
Options, too.
So,
Mr. Chair, I would move that the committee select option two in ORS 173.025 and 173.035.
Okay. So that's a separate motion now. Okay, so that's just on the two where we have options.
Yes.
Okay, so the option is to take option two in both cases, amend and make consistent with current practices.
Yes.
Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, motion carries. Now, if we could go to an option to adopt the staff recommendations, including the previous motion.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move that we adopt the staff recommendations on ORS 171, ORS 176, and ORS 184.
Okay. Any discussion? Any objections to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries. Now, our next meeting is going to be probably on a little bit more complex areas.
Correct.
So we're going to need more time. Mm-hmm. And we'll try to get the documentation to people, hopefully about a week in advance of the meeting, so you have plenty of time to look at it. The other thing is, I'm very cognizant of the fact that for the members that are here, I'm the only member that's a short distance from the Capitol, or a reasonably short distance. Compared to you, it's a short distance. But I do think if you can, for the next meeting, if at all possible, it would be good to be here, because it's much easier to have conversations when people are here physically.
Sure.
Than it is. And I think then, from then, don't we go to a legislative day?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So, and I think the staff will give preference to those members who are traveling from distances in terms of the timing of this, which day. Mm-hmm. That would probably be preferable. I can change anything I need to change to be here on whatever day.
So you'll float some dates.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mr. Co-Chair, as members of the task force, you will receive an email from me shortly floating a few dates in July, probably around the third week of July. I know in conversations loosely all the way around, people are gone towards the end of the month. I know some people are gone towards the beginning of the month with the holidays and vacations and so forth. In addition, we will probably be looking for a 2 to 2.5 hour time block. And it will coordinate for our co-chairs and our two members who are also on our other task force, the Capital Budget Process Task Force. We will coordinate those meetings together so as to maximize your time while you are here and try to get them on the same date, or if not, right next to each other, back-to-back on dates. So do look forward an email suggesting some dates around the third week of July for a 2 to 2.5 hour time block for a meeting to discuss this next set of statutes, which will take some more time to discuss and for staff to prepare some recommendations for you to consider.
Anything else for today? With that, We're adjourned.
Mr. George. George.